claimed that the American military has shot down an Iranian drone in the Strait of Hormuz. Tehran has called Trump's claim delusional and released footage to challenge his remarks. Trump's claim comes nearly a month after Iran downed an intruding American drone. In this edition of the debate, we'll try to explore the reasons and significance of Trump's statement at a time when Washington is pressing ahead with its maximum pressure campaign against Iran. Allow me to welcome my guests, founder of American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, joining us from Washington, D.C., also joining us from St. Petersburg, Florida. We've got former American intelligence linguist Scott Ricker. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Lane in Washington, D.C. Tehran's top military spokesman dismissed Trump's claims as quote-unquote delusional. Subsequently, Iran released footage emphasizing that no drones have been lost over the Strait of Hormuz. The spokesman said the U.S.'s remarks are aimed at destabilizing the strategic Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz. Do you see it in that light as well?
Well, there's obviously a dispute going on as to exactly what happened with this drone. I've heard the remarks from the Iranian government indicating that there was no drone that was shot down, that all drones returned safely to their bases, and even showed footage of the drone in question taking pictures of the U.S. Naval assets in the area. On the other hand, it was just a short time ago, I think maybe an hour or so, that U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton declared that there was absolutely no doubt that it was an Iranian drone and that it was shot down. So we'll probably play that game, but I don't think that exactly what happened there is the most important part of this discussion. What I think is the important part of the discussion is, after almost a month now of increasingly escalating behavior, where we have tankers that are attacked, we have tankers that are seized, we have drones that are shot down. There's a late report as of about 2 hours ago that a UK tanker was seized in the Straits of Hormuz by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. So it seems that we're going to play tit for tat, and the question is, when will we get to the table, sit down, and have negotiations? I think that the signs are that that might be sooner rather than never.
Scott Rickard, some observers are saying that the U.S. is trying to initiate some sort of psychological warfare against Iran. An analyst that we spoke to earlier said this could even be part of Trump's reelection campaign. What is your assessment of this current situation?
Well, clearly, there's been psychological warfare going on in the United States, not only in this current scenario, but certainly in scenarios over the past 40 years. Obviously, the Iranians have developed advanced stealth technology in their drone capabilities. These aircraft may even be undetectable to the American Navy in the area. At the same time, if you look at the kinds of technology that are available that could be used not only by the Americans, but also by their allies in the area, simple commercial drones can be flown as much as 30 to 40 miles away from the station using 3G and 4G technology. These drones could be used as sort of a psychological effect that there is a something in the area. That even are being used by intelligence agencies, say the Saudis or the United Arab Emirates, to conduct actual overflight of American military and naval air, carriers and, or, excuse me, warships in the area. So that being said, we don't know what this particular aircraft may have been. Certainly, it looked like from the footage I saw that the Iranian drone was actually directly above the USS Boxer. So the if that drone was flying directly above the Boxer, it looks as if the Americans may not be able to even detect the Iranian drones, which is not surprising given the fact that the Americans were overflying illegally Iranian airspace and the Iranians had captured an American drone just 8 years ago and reversed technology, reverse engineered that technology, and now obviously have advanced technology that they're using in their own services. So at the end of the day, obviously, the Americans are the aggressors. They're running an armada of ships through the Strait of Hormuz needlessly. The Iranians have not seized any ships. And the fact, if they have seized a UK ship, rightfully so again, because of the fact that Gibraltar today in the courts have agreed to hold the Iranian tanker in Gibraltar for another 30 days. That agreement just came to today. So obviously the courts in the United Kingdom influence in the EU and obviously Gibraltar has been abused and illegally holding the Iranian tanker. And this tanker unfortunately now has until the August 15th to be released. So this is, I would hope that no one is injured and there's no violence in any taking of the United Kingdom oil tanker in the Persian Gulf, if it has happened. At the same time, I would also hope that it's not exaggerated by the West and basically not used, because absolutely, in both cases, any seizure of any international ship is a case of piracy. So make sure that if you are going to negotiate only based upon the seized ships, I would say, because absolutely the UK is acting aggressively alongside the US in the Persian Gulf and sadly also in the Mediterranean Sea.
Michael Lane, Donald Trump said, "The United States reserves the right to defend our personnel, facilities, and interests. Iran has the same right to defend its borders, sovereignty, and territorial waters." Am I correct? It is the Persian Gulf. Iran has every right to maintain its presence there and oversee and ensure security in the area.
Yes, I don't think anybody would argue with that fact. What we're talking about is Iran certainly has the ability to defend its territorial waters and its territory. When you talk about something as narrow as the Straits of Hormuz, which is only a couple miles wide, of course, that is international waters, although it is very close to Iran, and ships should have free passage as long as they are in international waters. Now, the reports that I heard, and I'll cite my source, was Reuters News Agency. They have indicated that the UK claimed that their ship was in international waters when it was approached by several small ships from the Iranian guard and taken into custody. So we'll see that there will be GPS satellite technology and things that will tell us exactly where this incident took place, and we will know what happened in the future. But again, I'd like to get back to recent reports that indicate there is some level of disagreement among high-level Iranians as to whether or not they should accept President Trump's invitation for unconditional talks about the entire situation. There are, I believe, Foreign Minister Zarif made a small gesture indicating he was willing to usher through the Iranian government the advanced directives that are not due to be adopted for another 4 or 5 years in terms of nuclear inspections, as well as former President Ahmadinejad has indicated that he really thinks global discussions as a result of sitting down are not only desirable but likely to produce some outcome. So we'll see if that attitude on behalf of some Iranians of influence continues to grow.
Scott Ricker, would you like to respond to that?
Well, I would say that obviously the Iranians invested a lot of time and effort in negotiating the JCPOA with the P5 plus one. This was an enormous effort. It was extremely cooperative from the Iranian perspective. At the same time, it was probably the most effective nuclear arms treaty or nuclear, technology development treaty ever in the history of the world. Sadly, reports have come out recently, whether they're true or not, they certainly sound like they may be true, that Trump only canceled the deal because he wanted to spite Obama. But at the same time, let's be clear that Trump's highly influenced by Netanyahu and his pro-Israel agenda. So these types of activities have not changed. Trump has not decided to stop spiting Obama, and Trump has not stopped supporting, basically sacrosanctly supporting Israel. So I would say at this point, there will be no difference in any kind of negotiations and any improvement in anything that the JCPOA had. And in fact, the Iranians absolutely have made it clear that they're not going to give up their missile program. They're happy to give up any nuclear weapons programs, and they've certainly been abiding by the agreement up until recently, by which, unfortunately, the United States pulled out of, and now the United States is trying to, ironically, hold Iran responsible for an agreement that they walked away from. So, it's a very strange situation. Obviously, as a diplomat, I would say Zarif is correct. You should absolutely sit down with the other diplomats or even the leaders of another country and at least discuss something. But at the same time, consider the partner that you're discussing with. This partner has absolutely violated treaties throughout the history of the United States with the Native Americans, and certainly has violated treaties internationally and agreements internationally with predominantly every country that they've created an agreement with. So this is not a country to be trusted at this point, based upon past experiences. And certainly for 40 years, unfortunately, the Iranians have suffered under tremendous economic warfare coming from the United States. So to trust the United States and sit down with the United States, it's a very difficult situation for Iran. And sadly, the United States hasn't shown any reason to be trusted.
Michael Ng, Donald Trump said, "I also call on other nations to protect their ships as they go through the strait and to work with us in the future." Elsewhere, he said, "We call upon all nations to condemn Iran's attempts to disrupt freedom of navigation and global commerce." Are we seeing the kind of language expected by the U.S. in line with trying to create an anti-Iran coalition of some sort in the Persian Gulf?
Well, I suppose from Iran's point of view, it would be perceived as an anti-Iran coalition. But I think the reality is that Donald Trump, despite what people want to say about him, is the guy who doesn't want a military conflict. He campaigned on the idea of the U.S. becoming less involved in the Middle East wars and other areas rather than more involved. So when he calls on a worldwide coalition to create a security force that will ensure safe passage of commercial tankers and other commercial ships through the Straits of Hormuz, that is really, from his point of view, an attempt to make sure that the United States does not become the sole escort for ships that are doing that. This is something that Trump campaigned against. He doesn't want to be the policeman over there in the Gulf. He wants other countries to step up and protect their own interests. So I think it's very consistent with what he campaigned on, and it seems to be very consistent with his really surprising restraint in terms of provocation, not only in the Gulf, but other parts of the world as well, Venezuela, Korea, et cetera.
Scott Rickard, you're shaking your head there. How would you like to respond to that?
So there is no restraint when it comes to the Persian Gulf. There's been no stand down in Syria. There's been tremendous amounts of activity in Yemen. The United States is completely complicit in activity, obviously, in Afghanistan still. Absolutely, they've shipped more troops to the Persian Gulf than any time since the Gulf Wars. At the same time, there have never been more warships nor naval vessels from the United States Navy in the Persian Gulf than there is today. And to say that Iran is disrupting the travel through the Straits of Hormuz, let's be clear here. There are armadas of American frigates and American destroyers and certainly carrier groups. And these are the ones that are disrupting the flow of free traffic. You know, just consider that if there was anything like that going through the Suez Canal from a major navy and blocking the Suez Canal from commercial traffic and saying that they were escorting, commercial shipping. There's no need for escorts. The Iranians have attacked no vessels. The idea that these vessels that were quote-unquote attacked by Iran that were from the UAE earlier, a month or two ago, that's absolutely, it's terrible. It's incredibly impossible that the Iranians would not make such a move. It's just ridiculous that these accusations have been made. So I would say this disruption is absolutely being caused by these American propaganda networks, as well as, unfortunately, the American presence in the area, and massive presence, I should say, and unfortunately, the buildup of American forces in the region. And also, let's be clear, the decades in which the Americans have operated around and unfortunately in Iran since the, unfortunately, 1950s. So the disruption is absolutely being aggravated by the American and the United Kingdom and their allies in the region.
Michael Lane, Mr. Rickard said mentioned the American presence in the region. Last month, the Trump administration announced it was sending 1,000 additional troops to the Middle East for what, in their own words, is to counter threats from Iran. Washington has managed to turn this Iranophobia into a marketable pretext to expand its arms sales and military cooperation with its Persian Gulf Arab allies, hasn't it?
Well, you know, I think it's a little bit contradictory there to say it's motivated by Islamophobia when, in fact, what we're doing is cooperating intensely with our Islamic country neighbors in the region.
No, I didn't say Islamophobia.
So it's clearly not driven by Islamophobia. I think it's driven by perceived natural...
Iranophobia.
Okay. Thank you very much for that clarification. I'll get back to what I read was attributed to President Ahmadinejad in today's Reuters report from a couple hours ago, which was that relations between the two countries have been in dire straits for 40 years since the Islamic Revolution, when the United States embassy was taken and the hostages were held for over a year. Mr. Ahmadinejad thinks that it's time to sit down to go over the entire discussion to find out what we actually do have in common with the Iranian people and to negotiate a lowered level of intensity and even a higher level of cooperation where both sides will find favor in the results of those discussions. I understand he's no longer a member of the Iranian government, although I do think he has a seat on the highest council. It's time for his vision to have some discussion among the top levels of the Iranian government and to find out if perhaps there are some people who want to accept Donald Trump's offer for unconditional discussions.
All right, Scott Rickard, let's go over the same issue right there. We didn't get a clear response from Michael Lane. On Wednesday, it was reported that Trump administration is preparing to send hundreds of troops to Saudi Arabia. Is Washington using these tensions with Iran as the perfect excuse to extend its military cooperation with the likes of the Saudis?
Well, I mean, how much further could you extend it? I mean, the Americans have been building up military activity in Saudi Arabia to the tune of almost $100 billion in weapons. You know, just imagine if another nation was building up, say, Cuba or Mexico with $100 billion in weapons as our neighbor. It's just unbelievable that there's any consideration. And certainly when it comes to Saudi Arabia was basically goaded into allowing American military there post the Desert Storm, or actually as a precursor to the Desert Storm activity. because of the fact that Saddam Hussein, who, by the way, the Americans also supported to help rain down poison gases and rockets on Iran and the Kurds. This is, just a horrific history. And to try to go back to, and say that, well, the Iranians took the Americans hostage for a year. Well, let's just say that the Americans in the UK took the Iranians hostage for over half a century, for God's sakes, by overthrowing their governments, putting puppets in place. And in 1979, the Iranians finally booted out the Americans after they allowed them to stay. And the Shah was just a horrific leader in the country, building up a massive military, actually developing nuclear weapons alongside the Americans and the Israelis. So let's not twist history into our biased opinions. Let's be clear about what's happened in this region, and let's talk honestly, and then let's talk about what can be done for reparations to Iran, and because Iran's been cheated economically for the last 40 years and should be somewhere in the neighborhood of about $3 trillion in GDP, when in fact they're only a tenth of that because of the tremendous sanctions that have persisted for 40 years.
All right, gentlemen, we are short of time now. Allow me to thank my guests, Michael Ayn, founder of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, joining us from Washington, D.C. Also thanks to former American intelligence linguist Scott Ricker, joining us from St. Petersburg, Florida. And also special thanks to you, our viewers, for staying with us on this edition of The Debate. It's good night for now.